Thank you for listening to the Family Life Podcast. For more great content, visit thefamilylife.org. We hope you are blessed by today's message and will be encouraged to share it with someone you know.
For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. It was the wisdom of Solomon, while standing before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of the children of Israel, that he lifted his hands to heaven and said the words that tried to capture the greatness of God. He no doubt knew his words would fall short of the divine definition that could be given, that they would pale in comparison to the brilliance that God is. But there, at that dedication of the house of God that he had built, he wanted it to be known to all that the house, with all of its grandeur, all of its gold, as impressive as it was still inadequate to contain and confine the one true living God. For he said this, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded." Mankind has always tried to build a box that would and could contain God, a place where they could in some way keep him, and in an essence, even control him. The Tower of Babel was built with that in mind. David wanted to do it. Even Simon Peter wanted to build three tabernacles when Jesus was transfigured. More often than not, it is done with good intentions, right motives, and no doubt even ordained by God. But never for a moment did God intend for the limited lines of his purpose and power to be confined to what man would think and be. The heaven of heavens cannot contain him, the wise man said, much less a house. It was Jacob that first called it Bethel, the house of God. That place where God revealed himself to him, that place where the promise was given to him that ultimately he would be blessed. It was a place marked by a moment in time that could not and should not be forgotten. So Jacob awoke from that vision and anointed the stone that he had used for a pillow, and he called it Bethel, the house of God. For generations, it would be the focal point of a people who found it to be the true north on the compass of their spiritual life. But through the process of time, the place of Bethel, it lost its purpose. Jeroboam, a king of Israel, divided the kingdom of Israel. And there in that place of Bethel, the word said that he set up a golden calf. Read this. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan, and this thing became a sin. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. A false god, now understand this, a false god was put in the place of the one true living God. It was done as a convenience, put in a place so that the people of Israel could easily get to it. It was closely associated enough with what felt right, with what felt spiritual, and so it was quickly bought into by the people. So the people began to worship that golden calf. God was neglected and ultimately ignored. And to them, they were still in association with and proximity to what seemed to be right. You understand this? But the fact was, their heart was very far from God. They had gone astray. Their way was lost, like Israel had done and people do. They were wandering. Understand this now, please. When people do not give God his rightful place in their life, they begin to wander spiritually. It was not that Bethel had been abandoned. It had not. There was still the well-worn path that led them there day after day. But it was that God, the one true God, had been abandoned. They had put in his place idols where he had once occupied. They had set up their own means and measures that made them feel fulfilled, made them feel spiritual. Are you understanding this? Until God had had enough. And he looked at them through the prophet Amos and told them to stop seeking Bethel and to start seeking him. He wanted them not to seek the safety and the security, the confines of a place, but to seek the safety and the security and the salvation that could only be found in him. The words of Amos, they should speak volumes. They should speak volumes to us today. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. If it has not become evident to us yet, let it be this day that it's realized that God has proved to us that he is bigger than a building. That the answers of our life are not found in tangibles, not found in the governments of man, not in the things that we have often conveniently trusted in our life. Our life is found in God. He is our hope, he is our life, and he is our salvation. Thank God. You realize today, I hope, that I am not preaching about this building or any other building for that matter. But I am preaching about a lifestyle that we must choose to live. Where our living for God is not confined to just this place or any other place, where it's more than just a form or a fashion or a style of worship or even an outfit that we put on. We don't just seek those things, but we seek the God of those things. We seek the one we depend on, the one that makes us live, the one that makes us alive, the one that saves us. We do not worship this place. We worship the God of this place. We are thankful for it. It's a place that brings strength and hope and help. It's a place to focus. But we cannot miss God because we confine him to the limited settings and the circumstances that we think he must be in. Our prayer life, hear me, please hear me and understand this. Our prayer life should now be deeper. Our worship more intent and in tune. Our praise more ready and real than it ever has been. Because we have something in God that goes beyond the benefit of a Bethel. We have a relation with him that will save us, that's greater than all of this, that we must understand and be in tune with. We will not worship idols of self, in other words, and sin. We'll determine that we'll not bow down to the thinking of our own way of doing things and leaving him out of the plan of our life and of church and all of our existence. And like a Solomon, let it be that we lift our hands, that we lift our hearts, and even though our words may seem weak, we still say there is no God like our God. There is none greater. None can place a containment on him. No means of man can limit him. Hear me, we need to get a view of God that's bigger than our battles. What's confronting us and what we're dealing with, that he is greater. There's no sickness greater than him. No pain that he cannot heal. No soul that he cannot save. No problem that he cannot bring peace to. Let it be from this moment on. Let the line in the sand be struck this day. That it is God that we will seek. It is him and him only that we will worship. It's on and in him that we will place our trust. For there is salvation in no other name but Jesus. He's our hope. I'm asking you wherever you are right now, wherever you're listening to this, that you stop wherever you are and begin to worship him. In that place that God has you in, maybe not necessarily physically, but the season that you are in right now, what you are going through, what you are feeling and experience, that you stop and you worship him in that moment. You seek him there and not the other things that are there around you. Because you'll find him to be the answer for all of your life, for all of your dilemma, for all of your questions you're going to find that he's the one that you need to seek. Not the things, not the places, but him, Jesus, our Savior. I want you to pray with me right now, if you would. Wherever you're at, just lift your heart and your hands to God. Would you do that? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that God, everyone listening to this right now, and whatever they're going through, whatever circumstance of life might be presented to them, I pray in that season that they are in, that they would recognize, God, that they must seek you now. that their hearts would turn to you, and that and they would recognize, God, in all of the circumstances and situations that surround them, that God, you are there and you're calling to them and you're asking them to seek you and not the place and not the tangibles of this light of life and not the things that we have often found security in, but God, we seek you. We turn to you. We trust in you. We love you because, Father, you will not fail us. And right now, God, I pray wherever those individuals are, where they might be listening to this, that God, you would reach to their heart and their mind and their life and their family, and that you would minister to them and help them to realize and to know, God, that you are the hope that they are looking for. And Father, I believe and pray this, and I thank you for it, and I give you worship and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.